Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody. This is August Regatta with today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. Welcome to our program. And the soon return of our Lord Jesus at the rapture of the church. Man alive, I thought I was ready to cough up a frog there for a moment, folks. Excuse me for that there. Just been battling with a bug flu, but I'm pretty sure it's out of my system right now. But feeling a little bit of the after effects there after a week-long Bible prophecy conference in Milbank, South Dakota. And I was out there from Sunday through Sunday. I believe it was May 29th. Going all the way into June the 5th. And I'll tell you, folks, it was a full-blown, week-long Bible prophecy conference. And we had a wonderful time out there with the people of Milbank Baptist Church, Brother Brian Biggs, the pastor, his family and the church family there, treated me like royalty. We had a wonderful time out there as I preached on current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And again, folks, we saw three people get saved at this conference, and they invited me to come on back next year for another prophecy conference, and we just really enjoyed ourselves right there in the Midwest. Also went over the border into Appleton, Minnesota, where I preached at the Appleton Baptist Church, pastored by Brother Jody Coles. We were there for Sunday night and had a wonderful time over there with him and his people, and they've invited us to come back for a week-long prophecy conference. So, folks, we're going to have next year, Lord willing, back-to-back week-long Bible prophecy conferences. And so that I'm going to have my work cut out for me on that. But, hey, had a wonderful time, and I'm looking forward to going back there. But now we're back home, and Sunday, we're talking tomorrow, June the 12th. I will be preaching in Turner, Maine, and I will be preaching at Calvary Baptist Church, Turner, Maine. Our brother, Dr. Christner, is the pastor, and he is a wonderful gentleman. Looking forward to seeing him and all of his fine people over there in Turner, Maine. So if you live in the northeast area of New England, in the sticks of Maine, come on out and join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship service, and 6 p.m. evening service as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Again, that will be the Calvary Baptist Church, Turner, Maine, Sunday, June the 12th, 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship service, and 6 p.m. evening service. And then, of course, we'll be back in Rhode Island on Monday, and then I'll be flying out next weekend to Little Rock, Arkansas, where I will be preaching at a church out there in Little Rock. And by the way, folks, you can look at my speaking schedule by going to my website at todayinbibleprophecy.org. And while you are there, you can sign up for our email newsletters. They go out every single week. Send ours out on Friday. And so you can sign up for the free weekly email newsletters. Also, click on the brochure on my website for our upcoming September 3rd through the 14th, 2016, for our Bible prophecy tour to Israel. It will be Israel and Petra in southern Jordan. So you're going to get two countries for the price of one. And I am going to be teaching Bible prophecy on location in Israel and over the Jordan, over the border into southern Jordan. And so we'd love to have you join us on this Bible prophecy trip of a lifetime. If you would like to join us, time is of the essence. We're about not even four, maybe 4.5 months out. So if you'd like to go, call my tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel, toll free. Ask for our tour operator, Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-D as in Victor, E, Eddie, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, Evan, Eyal Evan, their toll free number is 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Let Eyal know you want to join August Rosado on the upcoming Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel. We do have some seats available. Don't know how many, but we do have some seats available. And we'd love to have you join us on this Bible Prophecy Tour of a Lifetime. And again, folks, if you would be interested in having me come and speak at your church on current world events in light of biblical prophecy, we would love to do so. Again, folks, our schedule is really heating up, and so we are really, again, looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in the upcoming months. And so we're just looking forward to having a wonderful time getting into first-time churches. I'm really excited about getting into first-time churches. And so pray for us as we go into this church tomorrow morning in Turner, Maine, at Calvary Baptist Church with Pastor Christner and all of his fine people, and praying for souls to be saved and hearts to be touched. And so we are really looking forward to that. Well, I want to say to all of you in Hebrew, Chag Shavuot Sameach. Happy Feast of Weeks for all of you, because we know that we have now just entered into the summer feast, and this would be the fourth feast in Leviticus 23. We know in Leviticus 23, God gave the children of Israel seven feasts to keep as a memorial throughout all of their generation. And we have just now entered into the fourth feast, known as the Feast of Weeks. And so what I want to talk about is the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, shadows of things to come. And so I'm really excited when I teach about the Feast of the Lord, especially the Feast of Israel. So I want to talk about Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, which is a shadow of things to come. And, of course, this is right out of Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. And again, God gave the children of Israel seven feasts to keep as a memorial throughout all of their generations. And so we want to look at these feasts over here out of Leviticus chapter number 23. And so if you could just hold on for 1 second there, folks. Okay, so we are back over here. I'm sorry for that delay there. We are sorry for that time out there, but I had to get the scriptures. And whenever you think you got all the bases covered, you don't have all the bases covered. And so I needed to make sure that I have the Word of God here with me. Thought I had it by my side, and I did not. And so Leviticus 23, looking at verses 15 and 16. And it says this, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow, in other words, tomorrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow, after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto. And so when we think of the holy days of our Lord, we think about the feast of God in Leviticus chapter number 23. Seven feasts that they are to keep as a memorial throughout all of their generation. The Lord gave the Israelites seven feasts to be observed throughout their generations. And yet in Leviticus 23, God says that these are to be a holy convocation. And when we think about a holy convocation, it just simply means it will be a holy gathering of God's people to celebrate these feasts. You know, when we gather in church on Sunday or midweek or whatever, that is a holy convocation of God's people. It's a holy convocation. And so God said that when you celebrate these feasts, they are to be holy convocations for generations. And so in Leviticus 23, we have three spring feasts. And, of course, these three spring feasts would be Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. So those would be the three spring feasts. But then we also have a summer feast, and that would be the Feast of Weeks, or as they say in Hebrew, Shavuot, or you know it better in the Greek as Pentecost. So we have the three spring feasts, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits. Then we have the summer feast, one that we're in right now, which goes from Saturday to Sunday, and that would be the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, or in the Greek rendering, that would be Pentecost. And then we have the three fall feasts. The first would be Yom Teruah, which is Hebrew for the Day of Trumpets, or the Feast of Trumpets. Then we have Yom Kippur. Yom is day in Hebrew. Yom Kippur. Kippur is Hebrew for covering. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And then we have Sukkot. Sukkot in Hebrew simply means tabernacles or the Feast of Tabernacles. So again, folks, we have three spring feasts, a summer feast, and then we have three fall feasts. Now, the day after the Feast of First Fruits, the Jews were to count 9 days after the Feast of First Fruits. So they counted 49 days, or they were to count seven Sabbaths. You know, seven times seven is 49. Again, looking at Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 15, of course, the thing blew it off over here. Leviticus 23, blew my pages over. Leviticus 23, verse number 15. And he shall count unto you from the morrow. That will be the day after first fruits. After the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. And so God makes it very clear that after first fruits, the day after tomorrow or tomorrow, you are to count 49 days or seven Sabbaths. And then on that 50th day, you would celebrate another feast. And that would be the Feast of Weeks. Again, looking at verse number 23 and 16 tells us, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, shall you number 50 days, and he shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So this will be the new meat offering unto the Lord, and that, of course, would be the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, or what we would call in the Hebrew there, folks. That would be, and so the Feast of Weeks would involve the gleaning of the land. It would involve animal sacrifices, and of course the priest would offer the wave offering unto the Lord. And, you know, some theologians believe that when the high priest had the wave offering of the barley, that he would wave it somewhat of a sign like this. We really can't be dogmatic about that, but some believe that it would be almost like the sign of a cross that God provided for his people. And so that's pretty much what the Feast of Weeks was all about. It thanks unto the Lord and thanking God for providing for his people. Now, what's interesting, of course, is that according to the rabbis, 49 days after Israel leaves Egypt, after some 430 years of bondage, they leave Egypt. 49 days after they leave Egypt, they come to Mount Sinai. And according to the rabbis, it was on the Feast of Weeks or on Pentecost that God gave the Torah. The Torah would be the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or what Christians would call the Pentateuch. God gave the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. But also based on rabbinic tradition, is that the rabbis also believe that God not only gave Moses the written law, but that God also gave Moses on Pentecost the oral law at Sinai. Oral law was carried by memory for centuries by the Jews until 200 A.D., when it was written down and codified by a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Judah Hanissi, in the Galilee at a place called Sepphoris. Now, we know 49 days after Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon 120 Jews at Pentecost. Now we have the birth, and of course, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn there with me. If you look with me in Acts chapter number 2, and it describes this event right here, 49 days after Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. And of course, this is the promise of the Father. Jesus Christ said that when he would leave, that he would send the Comforter, John 16:7, one who comes alongside to help, or the Spirit of Truth, being in verse number 17. And we see the coming of the Holy Spirit here in Acts chapter 2 when it says this: "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues," or divided tongues, "like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language," own dialect. So Acts chapter 2. Now what we need to understand is that Jews had to make Aliyah, or three pilgrimages, who was sent up to Jerusalem three times a year for the major Jewish feast, which would be Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Based on Deuteronomy 16:16, Jews were required three times a year to go to Jerusalem to celebrate these three main: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Here we are in Acts chapter 2. It's the Feast of Pentecost. By the way, folks, this was not the founding of the Pentecostal denomination. This was a Jewish feast in Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. And, of course, Jews from all over the world, no matter where they were, if they were required by Deuteronomy 16:16 to make Aliyah, to go there to Jerusalem to celebrate these three main feasts. So it's no surprise that when we read verse number 5, it says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Now, these Jews were there to keep this feast. But, of course, they did not understand the Aramaic language, the Hebrew language. And so these Jews in Jerusalem that were indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God are now speaking in the dialect of these other Jews. So what was the purpose of Acts chapter 2? It wasn't some jibber-jabberish language that's being unbiblically churches today. But the purpose of Acts chapter 2 was to communicate the gospel to these Jews that were not familiar with the language of the land of Israel in the first century at that date. They were absolutely blown away by what was going on. Because they said in verse 6, now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were confused. They're like, wait a minute. These guys don't know our language. How are they speaking our own dialect? How are they speaking our own language? Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? These guys are from the north of this Holy Land. How are these guys speaking our language? They never were taught our language. How do they know this language? Verse 8 says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, in our own language or dialect, when we were born. Now look where these guys were from in verse 9. Parthian, which would be, of course, Greece. Medes, which would be in the area near and around Persia, Turkey. Elamites, of course, that would be Persia, or what we'd say today, Iran. Mesopotamia, Babylon, modern-day Iraq, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, all around the Roman Empire, verse 10, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, in the parts of Libya to the west, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, verse 11, Crete, Arabians from Arabia, Saudi Arabia. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And, of course, when you continue to read on in verse number 41, it says this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Because these Jews of the Galilee were speaking in a language that they weren't even familiar with, preached in the dialect of these Jews who came from all over the world to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, or Pentecost. And because of that, 3,000 got saved. Not only were they did they get saved, they were baptized. And then it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and of fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So these guys were already being discipled by these Jews. Folks, that was the purpose of Pentecost. The purpose of Pentecost was to preach the language of these Jews who had no idea of the language that these other Jews that came from all over the world to Jerusalem. They had no idea of how to speak that language of their day. But because it was the Holy Spirit of God that gave them that utterance to do so, these 3,000 Jews got born again. These 3,000 Jews were baptized, and they were disciples, were all Jews. So again, 49 days after Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit of God came upon 120 Jews at Pentecost. And from 120 mushroomed into 3,000. So now we see that the church is growing here in Acts chapter number 2. Boy, folks, God knows exactly what he is doing. Amen. But, folks, we also know that Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts of Leviticus chapter 23. And we know in the future, he is going to fulfill the last three. So how did Jesus fulfill the first four feasts of Leviticus 23? And how will he fulfill the last three in the not-too-distant future, according to Bible prophecy? Well, we know that Jesus was crucified on Passover. We remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. John 1:29, John looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And again, drop down to verse 36 of John 1, he again called Jesus the Lamb of God, because one of the main ingredients on the Passover table was the Lamb. So Jesus was the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for the sins of the entire world, for the sins of every human being, for the sins of all mankind. That's not limited. That is unlimited. And then, of course, he was crucified on Passover. He was buried on unleavened bread. Unleavened represents righteousness in the Bible. Leaven represents sin, and it represents unrighteousness because Jesus was without sin. His body was unleavened. His body was broken for you and broken for me. Just like on the Passover table, you get that matzah. That matzah is a flat bread. It's made without any leaven whatsoever. It's unleavened bread. It has stripes on it, and it's pierced with holes. That beautifully represents the body of the Lord Jesus. He's without sin, unleavened. By his stripes, we are healed, based on Isaiah 15, and he was pierced for our transgressions. And so he was crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread. Then he rose from the dead on first fruits, as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 30 and onward, where he said, of Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection. And then, of course, Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit of God, the promise of the Father in John 14, John 15, and John chapter number 16. That was fulfilled right there in Acts chapter 2 on the Jewish feast of weeks, Shavuot, or Pentecost. So we know that the Lord Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts. But in the future, we know he's going to fulfill the last three feasts. And we know the one in the fall that will be fulfilled will be Yom Teruah or Trumpets. Now, even though the Feast of Trumpets is not a Christian feast, it is a Jewish, we think about the rapture of the church, spoken of by Paul the Apostle in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Now we know in John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus made mention of the rapture. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, 35 years after Jesus made that statement in John 14, the Holy Spirit of God revealed the revelation of the rapture to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now that involves a trumpet for the church. At the sound of that trumpet, the church will be evacuated out of this world before the tribulation period. The Lord Jesus shouts, the archangel shouts, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise for us. We who are alive and remain, come together with them in the cloud. Paul, again, under the movement of the Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52, says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Again, Paul talks about a trumpet. Call it a last trump in 1 Thessalonians 4, but he calls it a last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and 52. Why the phrase the last trump? Because in ancient biblical times in Israel, you had a series of trumpets that were blown throughout the day, seven in all. When that seventh trumpet was blown, as Israel was making their way out of the land of bondage in Egypt and on their way to the land of milk and honey, there were a series of seven trumpets that were blown. That last one would be blown for the Israelites to pack it up and head on out. That's what I believe Paul is talking about, the last trump. When that last trump sounds, that's what it takes the church out of here. Now, please don't confuse this last trump with the seventh trumpet of Revelation 11:50. A lot of Christians try to squeeze the last trump of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 with the seventh trumpet of Revelation 11, 15. Folks, it doesn't fit at all. Because John in Revelation 11, 15 never called that seventh trumpet a last trumpet. The seventh trumpet is twofold in Revelation 11. Number one, it's reminding the world that the kingdom of God is about to be revealed. And number two, the seventh trumpet also contains the seven vial or bowl judgments in Revelation chapters 15 and 16. It has nothing to do with a rapture or anybody being caught up in Revelation 11, 15 in any way, shape, or form. And I know they also try to squeeze that in with the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. Folks, that just doesn't fit whatsoever. John never calls it a last trump in the book of Revelation. Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15 to read that trumpet, that last trump in verse 15 for the church. This trumpet in Revelation 11, 15 is in relation to the world, those on the earth during the tribulation period. The trump of 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52 is a trump of blessing for the church. The trump in Revelation 11, 15 is a trump of judgment on the unbelieving, Christ-rejecting world. So, folks, we have to make a distinction there. So, trumpets would be the rapture of the church, and then at the second coming of Jesus, at the end of the 70th period of tribulation, another trumpet will sound. And that is to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth to the city of Jerusalem for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. You say, well, Brother Rosado, where do you get that from? Well, if we go to Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 31, this is where Matthew 24 deals with the tribulation period. Matthew 25 deals with the kingdom. And here we are in Matthew 20. It's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. This is parallel to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I know a lot of post-tribbers try to use this passage to to teach the post-tribulation rapture. It doesn't fit, folks. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. That's out of Joel chapter 2, by the way. And the moon will not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, at the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, Paul never talks about the whole world seeing Jesus coming back or the whole world mourning. At the rapture, that's just for the church. At the second coming, every eye is going to see him. That's Zechariah 12:10, Romans 11:26, right here, Matthew 24:29 and 31, and Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7. All second coming passages. It says, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31 says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Four winds from the one end of heaven to the other. The elect there would be, in the Greek, the chosen ones. This would be regenerated Israel, the saved of the tribulation period, who survived the tribulation period, and they go into the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. They come from the four winds of the earth, the four winds of the heavens, or the four winds of the earth. When it talks about the four winds of the heaven, that's also talking about north, south, east, west. It's parallel to the four corners of the earth, the four winds of heaven. All the saved of the tribulation period from the four winds of the heaven or the four winds of the earth gather at Jerusalem for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom. So with the sound of the trumpet for the church is taken out of here. 7 years later, at the end of the tribulation period, another trumpet sounds to gather the saints of the tribulation period to the city of Jerusalem, from the four winds of the earth to the city of Jerusalem, for the inauguration of the millennial kingdom reign of the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Jesus erects and walks into the millennial temple, into the most holy place, described in Ezekiel chapter 46, covering 202 detailed verses concerning Messiah's temple. And Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 make it very clear that the Messiah himself is going to build that temple. And on the Day of Atonement, he's going to walk into that very temple. And then Jesus will fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles when he will tabernacle among his people. Now, that's out of Revelation chapter 21, verse number 3, where it says this: "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and it shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." In the kingdom, by the way, folks, we are going to be celebrating Jewish feasts, not Gentile holidays like Christmas and Easter and Valentine's Day, Jewish feasts. Out of Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 16, it says this: "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." I love that. The King, the Lord of hosts. HaMelech Adonai Tzevaot. King, the Lord of hosts. That's Yeshua. Yeah. That's Jesus the Messiah. Both the Feast of Feast reminds us that God will keep his promises in the future concerning his church. And what is that promise? Event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is the next main event on God's calendar of events. And so, folks, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. Time is running out. I believe we're running on fumes, running on borrowed time. The Lord Jesus could return today. That trumpet, folks, could sound today. Given the world situation, it's getting more bleak. It's not getting any better. It's only going to get worse. But if you're not saved, the bad news is you're either one heartbeat away from going to hell, or you're one trumpet sound away from being left behind at the rapture to end up. Doesn't have to be that way. The rapture hasn't happened. There is still time left for you to trust in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You say, "August, well, it's as simple as A, B, C. A, all of us, our sinners. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. C, confess your sins to the Lord Jesus from your sins." You say, "August, how do I do that?" Well, you can pray something like this, and it's not the prayer that saves you, but you are praying to the one who can save you. You must repent of your sin. Repentance simply means change of mind, change of heart, change of attitude. Realizing that you are a sinner, deserving of eternal hellfire, but that you are sorry for your sin, and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you and save you from your sins. You say, "Well, August, can you help me to do that?" You can bow your head, close your eyes, and you can pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died on the cross for my sins. You shed your blood for me. I'm sorry for my sins. And right now, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and I now receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Save me from my sins today. Come into my heart and make me a new creature. Make me a new creation. Change my life today, Lord. Save me from the depths of a future hellfire. And I receive your free gift of eternal life today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, washing away my sins, and help me to live for you from this day forward until I take my last breath before that trumpet sounds at the rapture. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Pray that prayer. Send me an email so I can rejoice with you. My email address is august.todayinbibleprophecy, prophecy with a C, at gmail.com. august.todayinbibleprophecy at gmail.com. Let me know you prayed that prayer so that I can rejoice with you and direct you to a good local Bible-believing gospel preaching church in your area where you can fellowship and grow with other born-again believers. Folks, I bring this broadcast to an end. Don't forget, June 12th, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, I will be in Turner, Maine, preaching at Calvary Baptist Church, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m., being with Dr. Christner and all of his fine people. So if you live anywhere in Turner, Maine, or in the surrounding area, come on out and visit us. I would love to meet you. If you want to know more about our Bible Prophecy Tour of Israel, September 3rd through the 14th, 2016, call my tour operator, Eyal Eben, toll free 1-888-300-3038. Let her know you want to join me, August Rosado, in Israel this fall. Again, folks, visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. And while you're there, sign up for my free email newsletter. They go out every single week, and you can stay on top with us. You also have an opportunity to purchase some Holy Land gift items, shofars, prayer shawls, things of that sort, Holy Land gifts, widow's mite. And so I hope you take advantage of that. And, folks, that's pretty much all there is to say today. Don't forget to tune in next week as I come to you once again talking about the temples in Bible prophecy and how there are calls in Israel by the rabbis for the rebuilding of the third Jewish temple. Until next week, this is August Rosado saying keep looking up. The Lord Jesus is indeed coming soon. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.